Hey, what's up, everyone? This is the Leafs Combo for Oak Ridge Ford in London, Ontario. OakRidgeFord.com. Looking for a vehicle? I'm your guy, OakRidgeFord.com, at Norm at Oak Ridge Ford. It is Wednesday, January 10th, 2024. Norm in London, Mike in Buffalo. Mr. Augello, in terms of the Leafs world right now, four straight wins. Willie Nylander is signed up. Ilya Samsonov has been recalled. Everyone still hates Mitch Marner. It's another day in the world that is the Toronto Maple Leafs, and it's a world that we gladly and sometimes sadly immerse ourselves in. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening, Norm. Yeah, it's another day in paradise. Phil Collins, by the way.
Yeah.
Buster. I mean,
Buster, wasn't that movie Buster?
No, that was from one of his solo albums.
Okay. All right. Carry on.
The Nylander saga is over with, and now the Marner saga begins because, Nylander signs the deal that has been rumored for a couple weeks. I think I've made my opinions on it painfully clear that I think it's an overpay. I don't think that he's not a good player. I think he's a good player. I mean, the Leafs are gambling. They're rolling the dice that the Nylander that we see,
right,
that we've seen for a year and almost a year, a season and a half,
yep,
which has been predominantly Dr. Nylander, will continue to make house calls over the next 8 years or most of the next 8 years, yep, and that Mr. Willie will not show up. I hope that's the case for their sake, because if he resorts back to the form of the previous to the last year and a half, they're screwed.
Right.
Because they need him to be at least an 85 to 90 point player. I mean, he's on a pace to exceed 100 points. I don't think that's realistic, but you know, who knows?
Okay.
But I mean, now next season, they're locked in to those five players cumulatively at about $54.15 million. And the cap is probably going up to 88. So I'm going to be writing over the next few days on what the Leafs are probably going to have to do in terms of cap management and in terms of budget next year to be able to survive having those five players and right, be able to field the team. But it's not going to be easy, and everybody can rejoice and pop champagne and ride the TTC in celebration of the new 8-year deal of William Nylander. But a lot of things depend on him continuing to perform and Brad Treliving being able to field the team next year besides those five players. And it's going to be a hell of a task.
This is the Leafs Combo for Oak Ridge Ford in London, Ontario, OakRidgeFord.com. Looking for an F-150. I've got like a lease blowout right now at Norman Oak Ridge Ford. Every time you click on OakRidgeFord.com or you check out HockeyBuzz.com, Mike's work, you visit me on Instagram at Norman Oak Ridge Ford, you help further things along for us monetarily. OG's Converts, we know you have it in you. Show us some support. We really do appreciate it. Like the content, subscribe to the channel. Hey, as of now, William Nylander is playing like an $11.5 million player. And his fans are rejoicing, as you've alluded to, because their guy has earned his money. The next thing now is for a lot of Nylander's fans to direct their ire and their hatred towards number 16 with the hope that he waives the Leafs' inability to move him and they can, you know, send him to Siberia and bring something back and all will be honky-dory. Of course, I speak in jest because it's not that simple. And for the meantime, hopefully the Leafs can take what they've been doing, and that's limiting goals against, even if they're playing against teams that are subpar, scoring a ton, looking defensively adept, and getting on a bit of a roll here, moving up the Atlantic Division standings, increasing their plus minus or their goal differential. And, you know, William Nylander is at the center of it. Mitch Marner's contributing, Austin Matthews, John Tavares, you name it. It's really, really nice stuff. Now, Ilya Samsonov's back in the mix. He's probably not in the headspace he wishes he was in or the Leafs would like him to be in. But in terms of needing somebody to be there in support of a de facto number one, Martin Jones, at least temporarily, Ilya Samsonov has to earn his check. So what the hell are we going to expect from this guy coming back and most likely playing in one of those games that will take place. There's two of them over the course of about 24 hours. So what are you expecting of Ilya Samsonov, and what do you think the team is hoping for, Mike?
Well, from a fan's perspective, not much. They're probably not expecting a lot, because simply he's been horrible for most of the year. The Leafs are hoping and praying that the sort of kind and gentle perspective and the approach that the a mental and physical reset, which is what Brad for a Living said, works. You know, they didn't play him in the American Hockey League. They basically gave him a timeout, a mental break, and they're hoping. And Francesco, they clearly did not want to play Dennis Hildeby. They didn't think he was ready. You don't play a goaltender in this day and age, even if the back-to-back is in the same town, which L.A. and Anaheim, there was no travel. You still don't do that. Right. And that means that they didn't think the kid was ready, and the only reason he was there is in case Martin Jones got hurt. So at some point, they had to bring Samsonov up. Samsonov will play one of the two back-to-back games on the weekend. They play home back-to-back against Colorado on Saturday and Detroit on Sunday. So he'll play one of those games. Whether he plays well or not, right. I mean, let's just say this. If he gives up a bad goal and he melts down, then Brad for a Living has got a problem, because then the mental reset didn't work. And, you know, they have to, you know, Joseph Woll just took to the ice for the first time very gingerly a couple days ago. He's probably, I'd say, a month away, maybe 3 weeks at most, from being ready to play again. And they're not going to rush him back, because it's a high ankle sprain. He's a goaltender, and that's the last thing you do is rush him back. He could get hurt again. So they're praying that they can get through the next 3 weeks to a month, piecing together, having Samsonov maybe only play the back-to-back games and leaning on Martin Jones. And if they can get through that, then, you know, when Woll comes back, I know I'll make a prediction based on the way Jones has played, and I don't know if it's going to continue because he's been playing at a 9:30 clip. Once Woll comes back, Martin Jones is not getting waived. It's Samsonov getting waived again.
Right. OG's Converse, are you rooting for Ilya Samsonov? I know we're so definitive. We're polarized, right? It's black, it's white, it's yin, it's yang, it's Marner, it's Nylander. Are you rooting for him? Because I've seen like words like terrible and awful to describe Ilya Samsonov. The guy's going through a tough time. He represents the team you purport to love, right? Are you not rooting for the guy to do something positive for the team that you have been rooting for your entire hockey fandom and hope to see win a Stanley Cup one day? Every little good thing he can do, even though he's in his own head, even though the odds are stacked against him, helps further this team's agenda forward towards what we all hope, is the ultimate success, and that's a championship. So I'm rooting for the guy. I really don't want to see a train wreck here. And I know there are a lot of people who dislike the Leafs who are waiting for this kind of thing to happen, and people who are among the Leafs fan base who, you know, pit their hopes and dreams into a player or two and, you know, have a complete antithesis of their fandom revolving around people they dislike, right? And that's your right, OGs and Converts. But in this case, we need everybody on deck right now. We'll shake it all out in the offseason. Guys can be traded. Guys can be waived. Guys can be moved. Guys can get paid less. But for now, we're all in the same boat. Mike, am I singing kumbaya to a group of people who are just not going to buy it?
No, I don't think there's anybody in Leafs Nation right now that's rooting against Ilya Samsonov, because that's rooting against, you know, the good fortunes of your team. It's just this year, he's been terrible. Yeah. And that, you know, the expectation is, you know, when somebody has been terrible for the entire year, you're expecting him to continue to be terrible, but they need him to be at least passable.
Right. If mental health is an issue here, do we care? Right. I mean, we seem to care in general in society, but when it comes to the fortunes of our beloved hockey team being affected negatively, who gives a shit? Too bad, buddy. Get the hell out of there. Get someone else in there.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I talked to a Buffalo reporter when Samsonov had melted down against the Sabres. So this is late December. And, you know, he was of the opinion, well, what do you expect? I mean, you know, Samsonov, this is his. I mean, and I said, well, look at what he did last year. He had a .918 save percentage. He was really good. He got them through the first round. He played pretty well. You know, not to say that his history has been up and down. It's been he plays well, then he plays badly.
But oh, Mike, sorry to interrupt. But who thought Ilya Samsonov was Patrick Waugh reincarnate?
Well,
or Dominic Hasek at peak. There's no way when this guy set foot on Scotiabank Arena ice, we believe the savior was among us.
No, but Matt Murray gets hurt a couple times. Samsonov steps in, plays well, was pretty consistent all last year. Didn't really have a dip. In Washington, he was really good at times. He was really bad at times. So he found a level of consistency for 1 year, pretty much. You know, he had an injury, but, you know, he was pretty consistent. He was pretty good. The hope was, and this is the reason why they only signed him to a one-year deal. This was a year where he was singing for a supper. He had to perform well to get a new deal. Now, maybe that's part of the problem here, that he crumbled under the pressure. He's not getting a big deal now, not from the Leafs, maybe not from anybody. He probably gets a one-year deal from somebody, you know, a prove-it deal, and that might be his future for the rest of his career because he's 27 years old. Not to say that he can't reclaim something, but I don't know whether there's a level of trust, especially in Toronto, because, you know, I think right now Joseph Woll is the presumptive number one,
right,
with Martin Jones, the way he's played over the last, you know, few weeks. He's going to get, I think he'll be the 1B. And I think Samsonov, once Wall is back, not going to carry three goaltenders. I think Samsonov will be sent down.
Yeah. This is what is this? OG's Converse, Mike Gaggiello from Chickawaga, New York. What is this for Ilya Samsonov? This is like, he can play lights out and it's still going to be a coin flip as to whether he is waived over Martin Jones, or he just completely like, this is the thing. It's not like a good little run is going to return him to the number one slot, Mike. Like, really, with Martin Jones having played the way he has, and all of us believing that, you know, the anointed one, Joseph Woll, will return and stay healthy and be the guy, what's in it for Ilya Samsonov to play well and to do well only to get his walking papers?
Well, I mean, he's thinking of his future. So, yeah. I mean, he, of course, if he doesn't perform well, then, you know, his fate is sealed. I mean, he's got something to play for here. I mean, if he can sort of gather himself and play, at least play passable, you know, there's definitely motivation for him to do that. I mean, it's not a fait accompli that he's going to get sent down again. That's my personal belief, and that's based on the way Martin Jones is playing right now. I mean, there's no way you can send Martin Jones down to the minors right now.
Right.
I believe, actually, he'd probably have to clear waivers, and he won't, but Samsonov will. And if Jones is playing at this clip and Wall's coming back, then I think Samsonov is one who would clear waivers and would – you know, have to go down. So, and with the Leafs cap situation, that's a reality.
OG's Converts, what say you? I see a lot of regulars in the chat. Thank you so much for being here. You know who you are. You mean a lot to us. If you haven't liked the content yet, please do that. If you haven't subscribed, that would be nice if you did. You know, Mike, look, the Leafs are on a nice little run. This is as good a run, a nice package of play that we've seen from this team this season, which is really great. And they're not going to win them all, but if they can keep this defensive mindset, have confidence in the guy who's wearing the pads between the pipes, and just keep working their way into a position where they can take a run at the division, then that's all we can really ask for. But you know, with Wall coming back, what the hell are, okay, you know, just looking ahead. Okay, the Leafs get a little defensive help. They bolster what they can with what they have for a what they believe can be a playoff run. You know, how is Joseph Wall going to backstop this team four rounds to the championship? I mean, that would be a run of epic historical proportions. A guy with virtually no experience in the playoffs going bananas and leading a team that hasn't won a Stanley Cup in half a century to the promised land, right? Well, I mean, what the ingredients, as tasty as they are right now, for the long term, just don't seem or just don't appear to be right for this team to go all the way this year. Maybe my standards are too high, even though we have so much about this team that we would still like to see improved. Last few words, and we'll get out of here.
Well, for the long term, I think it's up in the air. I mean, we have this year is a proving ground for young players like Matthew Nyes, for young players like Nick Robertson and Joseph Wall. I mean, I've said it before. I'll say it again. This team is not winning a Stanley Cup. They are too flawed. They are not going to be able to add the defensive help necessary to make them a Stanley Cup contender. Again, the reason why I've advocated for going on 2 or 3 years, maybe even going back to before when William Nylander signed the deal he's currently on. This team needs to upgrade on the blue line, not upgrade to the point of, you know, just competency. Again, look at the teams that have won Stanley Cups. Vegas, Washington, Chicago, Pittsburgh. Except for Pittsburgh the 1 year, and they had Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, and their number one defenseman was Ron Hainsey. Every team that has won a cup over the last decade has had 2 or 3 really top-notch, top-pairing, second-pairing defensemen. This team's got one. So until they rectify that situation, I don't believe they're winning a Stanley Cup.
Well, look, Marner's going to feel that Emperor Palpatine-style hate flow through him, and he is going to capitulate with management and move himself to, you know, a Senior A team in northern Quebec, and the Leafs will have enough room to go out and get a couple of future Norris Trophy winners.
I know you're being sarcastic, but the thing here is, if you take Brad Treliving at his word, essentially after he signed Nylander and he said, well, you know, skill players are difficult to find, and that's why, you know, we signed William Nylander, you could extrapolate that and say, well, we're going to sign Mitch Marner. Okay. Well, at a certain point, and, you know, obviously Marner, his contract expires the same year that Tavares's does, and maybe there's a flip-flop of the money. But the whole problem is you're still going to be allocating more than 50% of your cap to four forwards.
Right.
And that is not a recipe for success.
So if you look, again, if you have no skin in the game, okay, you're not pro Nylander, pro Marner. And I just, you know, we could look at playoff stats. We could look at career stats, assists, consistency over the last 5, 6, 7 years. And you said, which compilation of numbers would deserve more money? You wouldn't say William Nylander. This year, for sure. And this is justification for all the people who've been riding the 88's coattails for years. What number was he before 88? 29, right? So here we are. And you have a lot of people who devote their Leaf fandom to mainly to one player, and that's William Nylander, and that's their prerogative. And I'm on board with it because he's been phenomenal this year, and I hope it continues because I really like the guy. So they believe now he's paid accordingly to not only what he's doing this season, but what they knew he would be able to compile and what he will continue to compile. The question I have for people who dislike Mitch Marner, if next year or at the point where he can reconfigure the Leafs and manage his team, hopefully the dad stays out of it, but I doubt he will, reconfigure a financial package that makes a little more sense to you, to him, to the team. Do you think you could reignite your respect and love for the guy, or you just don't like him because he does the gritty at practice? And I dislike that too. That's a question I'd like the OGs in Commerce to, you know, ask themselves and to answer. And maybe you can answer you know, in the chat, or you can do that below the post, Mike. I mean, do you think there's a way for, you know, I mean, Samsonov right now, I don't think anybody, like you said, is rooting against them, but people are kind of just sick and tired of them. And Mitch Marner is kind of getting there. How does number 16 bring himself back into a position where he's endearing himself to the fan base once again? And even the Michael Matthews can't deny that, you know, he is playing back into our hearts. What does he have to do, Mike, to kind of do what William Nylander did? Go from kind of the bottom of the heap kind of to the top of the pops. Last word and we're out of here.
Ride the TTC.
No, I mean,
honestly, I think that there's going to be a segment of the fan base that is going to dislike Nylander, and there's going to be a segment of the fan base that's going to dislike Mitch Marner. It may come down to performing in the playoffs, right, which, you know, if people don't remember, Marner's stats in the first round against Tampa were fantastic. He tailed off against Florida, as most of the core group did.
Right.
So I don't know whether it will change. All I know is that if you take Brad for living at his word, they will try to re-sign Mitch Marner. And it's going to be his salary demand, mark my words, will be somewhere in between what Nylander is getting, which is 11.5, and Austin Matthews at 13.25. He'll ask in the $12 million range, and that will, I'm sure, bring a whole level of criticism to Marner if he hasn't performed in the playoffs. If he does perform, then there'll be pressure on the organization to pay him.
It all remains to be seen. In the interim, I'm hoping the Maple Leafs can continue to do what they've been doing over the last week, 2 weeks, and that is play really solid defensive hockey and score in abundance. Just before we go, I want to have a quick look at the schedule coming up. Ilya Samsonov returning to the roster is going to be playing in one of these games. So you have the Islanders tomorrow, and is that in Brooklyn or on Long Island or wherever the hell they play now?
UBS Arena.
Yeah, for sure. And then you have the Avs coming into town. It's a back-to-back Avs Wings. That's going to be tough. The Wings score like crazy. So of the two, the Avs game and the Wings game, which game would you put Ilya Samsonov in?
I'd put him in against the Wings.
Really, eh?
Well, I mean, the Avs are one of the best teams in the league, so you put your best goaltender or the goaltender who's performing. I mean, it's Saturday night hockey night in Canada. You're going to put Ilya Samsonov in his first game since being recalled. I mean, that's asking for a lot against a team that won a cup in the last 2 years. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You know, it's tough.
Yeah, Spike 11, Samsonov cannot play again. Well, guess what, Spike? He will. He will. And then, geez, next week they're back out west for the Canadian swing, right? Oilers, Flames, Canucks, and then into Seattle. Geez, no rest for the weary. And the good thing about the Leafs playing, Michael P., is that we will provide content. OG's Commerce, like the content, subscribe to the channel. Check out Mike at HockeyBuzz.com. Check out me on Instagram at Norman Oakridge Ford. I have your next vehicle, whether pre-owned, new, truck, sedan, SUV, internal combustion engine, electric. I am your guy at Norman Oakridge Ford. I will take care of you. And if an OG or convert, if any of you refer a friend, I will make sure you're paid. I'll have a check in the mail. And that's not out of desperation. That's just out of appreciation. So it's awesome. At the end of the day, guys, we all want the same thing, and that's for the Leafs to succeed. How they get there, it'll be fun. I did check the stats. Joseph Woll, 4 games in the playoffs last spring, started to, came in relief in 2, and his stats are pretty good. 9.15 save percentage, 2.35 goals against. You know, again, he's got this, he just seems to have that, I don't know what you'd call it, Mike, just that something about him that exudes confidence and that can-do ability. It's one thing to be able to get in there and do it. It's another thing to be able to stay healthy and put yourself in position to continue to do at a high level. That remains to be seen in addition to all the things that are going on with the Leafs right now in a positive way. Hopefully they can continue. Mike, anything else? Okay. Thanks for your contributions, Mr. Augello. OG's Conference, have a great night. We'll see you for the Sunday Spectacular in a few days.